December 10th. That means we have 15 days till Christmas morning. So all the last minute shopping, the clock is ticking. Just to give you guys a warning. Online purchases, you have to keep an account. You got shipping time there. So we're really close for online shoppers. Yeah, well, yes, 2 days. But even that, some things are... So, yeah. So it's really coming down to the wire. Even bigger than that, we are less than 1 week away from opening night of episode 8. So... I am thoroughly looking forward to that. We've got a movie night. All last year, we went through all the different Star Wars movies down in Sailor Park. And when Ed said that he was going to be showing the movie there, when I called him, he said, "Man, you guys are our best customers." He said, we will rent the theater to you on Thursday if you'd like." And I was like, "Well, I don't want to take your opening night." So we're scheduled for January 7th. So I wanted to give him some time to get as many people into his theater as possible before we took over his theater for a showing. So we'll be going there as a church, but I guarantee you I will have seen it a few times before January 7th. Jess and I are going up to Columbus this week. We've got our 20th anniversary we're celebrating. And we're going to be watching episode 8 up there. So what a great, yeah, thank you. She put up with me for 20 years, and so... And 20 more, there's going to be more of my junk. All more of my stuff and more, yeah. So I'm that guy. So and she's like, "Can we throw this away?" I'm like, "No, it might be useful. We might be able to use it sometime." So, and then at one time I use that one thing that we kept, then it justifies all the other things that we kept. So that doesn't work out there. So we'll be watching episode 8 with my old bandmates up in Columbus next weekend. And Kurt will be sharing with you guys next week in this series, just simply called Christmas. And Kurt will be sharing from Luke chapter 2. When we talked, he said, "You know, I'd really like to bring the message from Luke chapter 2 and the Linus, you know, Christmas story there." And I said, "Absolutely." I said, "Well, then it would just make sense this week to turn back one chapter." So if you'd like, you can open your Bibles, you can go in your digital Bibles, or it will be up on the screen. But we're going to be camping out in Luke chapter 1 this week, talking in Luke chapter 1, the story of when Jesus, the birth of Jesus is told to Mary. And I will warn you guys, I have a mental block with Gabriel's name. I call the poor guy Gabriel. So if that comes out any tonight, don't let it, or today, I can't even get my day and night mixed up. But if that comes out any this morning, then just kind of, I'm just giving you the warning. So don't say, "Did he say Gabriel?" I probably did. I mean Gabriel. So he's probably going to have a good, you know, talking to me when I get up to heaven. So all those years. Or I get up there and find out it is Gabriel or Gabrielle, and it was mistranslated years ago. So I don't know. So Luke chapter 1, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words, and the word there for greatly troubled means just terrified. She was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." How will this be? Mary's question. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive in her, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. We're going to take notes in your bulletin in a little bit, but for right now, for the beginning part, we're just going to take this section here, this passage, and break it down a little bit. So if you want to just kind of set your bulletins aside, I'll let you know when it's time to pick them up and get your pens and get to taking some notes there. Let's go all the way back up to the top and start breaking this down. Luke, back up to verse 28, so should be the next slide there. There we go. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are what? Highly favored. And then a phrase shows up in a minute that it is completely parallel to that. Highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Mary was highly favored. She had found favor with God. She was being approached by Gabriel because she had found favor with God. God chose Mary out of grace. It wasn't on Mary's merit. For some reason in my mind, I always had this impression that God chose Mary because she was deserving, because she had done something to earn it, because she stood out. And I went looking for that because I thought, okay, let's see where the Bible says this, because I'm pretty sure somewhere in there it talks about this, or somewhere I read it, or somewhere. And I went looking. I went searching. I couldn't find it. I couldn't find some passage that said that she was set aside, that she deserved to be the bearer of God's only son more than any other daughter of Israel. But there's nothing there about that. There's nothing there that sets her aside that way. I mean, she was a virgin, so that means that, or that implies that there was some level of purity in her life. She calls herself humble. I mean, yeah, does that count? Does that count if you call yourself humble? if you call your situation humble. Maybe that. Okay, so let's check that out. That's her Mary's song. It's a little further down in chapter 1. And joking aside, this song reveals a lot about her attitude towards God. And we get a chance to see a little bit into the heart of Mary. It says, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. So Mary was definitely a God-fearing and a God-honoring young woman. And she wasn't some rebellious woman. She wasn't out clubbing on the weekends and closing down bars. And, you know, we don't get that picture of Mary. We definitely get a picture that she loved God, she honored God, she feared God, and she lived in such a way that was honoring to him. She and Joseph both, they displayed a lifestyle of obedience, and they shared a lifestyle of faithfulness to God. We can see that, and there's enough in scriptures that we can make those assumptions, that we can pick out those little pieces of their life. But don't take all that in and then make the assumption that she was chosen because she was great, or she was chosen because she deserved it. Because when you look at the magnitude of this story, Jesus, God's son, I don't care how good you are, no one on the face of this earth could earn the right, the ability to give God's son to the world. It's not because she was special. It's because of God's grace. She was highly favored. Translated, that means that she was full of grace. That's what that means, full of grace. She had found favor with God. That's all about grace. Jesus didn't, Mary wasn't chosen because of anything that she did to earn it or deserve it. And I don't want to downplay that too much. Yes, she was a wonderful young lady and a great example for us all in her faithfulness and obedience. But at no time should we move our thoughts so far that we think that this happened outside of God's grace. It was God's grace that chose Mary, not her merits. She didn't earn the opportunity. She wasn't chosen because of her goodness. She was chosen out of God's grace. God's grace, highly favored. And what did God do? God put a huge blessing inside of Mary. We go back up to verse 31. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Jesus is the Greek translation of the name Joshua in Hebrew. So when you read in the Old Testament, the name Joshua, same name as Jesus. And those names, they mean literally God saves, Yahweh saves. You are to name him God saves, Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Think about taking these in, these words from this angel. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. An eternal kingdom. His kingdom will never end. And this is what God put inside of Mary. Huge. Huge. And God planned this. God planned this whole event. We're told in Scripture it was before even creation. God had planned to send Jesus. This wasn't haphazard. This wasn't plan B. This was plan A. And God put this huge blessing for all of mankind inside of Mary. I think it's amazing. And God's plan was to bless others. As Mary sings in her song that we read, to bless the whole world. All creation will look and they will be blessed because of that. God put this inside of Mary. And Mary's comment back is simply, how? Physically, I'm a virgin. How am I going to be pregnant? How am I going to give birth to God's only son? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. This amazing event that we read about, that we think about during this time of the year, it was only made possible because of God's Holy Spirit. It was only made possible by God's intervention, by God's Holy Spirit involved in this process. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The blessing of the birth of Jesus did not come about by natural abilities, by human abilities. The birth of Jesus came by supernatural abilities. It was a supernatural event. And it's amazing when we talk about it, and some of us have heard it for all of our life, that Jesus was born from a virgin, and it was the power of God, the Holy Spirit, that she became pregnant through that. It was a miracle. When you think about that and step outside of that and think of how crazy that is to believe that, to think that, But we do. And we know that's true. And that can't be true on natural abilities. That can't be true by things that just happen physically, or we can't explain that away with science, or we can't. No, that is a supernatural occurrence. The birth of Jesus, it's powerful because it's supernatural. It was by God's design and God's choice. It was by God's grace that he chose Mary and Joseph to be the parents. And this was all God's deal. All of this was God's deal. We'll see nativity scenes, and we see Mary, and we see Joseph, and we see the baby Jesus and that cat. You guys have not heard about? Apparently there's a picture. I should have pulled it up so I could see it myself. But there's a picture that some photographer took of a cat sitting in a manger scene, and it just went viral. So you guys can search. Some of you guys are going to search for it now. But but when you see a manger scene, when you see a nativity scene, you know, we think about Mary, we think about Joseph, we think about the shepherds and the message that Kurt will be sharing next week, and that involves some of that. Maybe even when we think about the star, the angel, we think about the setting, that they were in a manger, in an animal's feeding trough. They were in a barn. But I want us to step back a little bit from that this year, and every time we see a nativity scene, I want us to take all that in and say that's one thing, not parts. That's God's Holy Spirit at work in a supernatural event that changed the world. And not all the human parts, not all the physical parts, not all the horizontal parts, but that vertical understanding that that was a supernatural event planned for by God, orchestrated by God, accomplished by God. The only thing God needed from Mary and Joseph was he needed a faithful attitude and obedient actions. So now let's flip your bulletins on over and take some notes. Because this pattern that we witness, this pattern that we see in the birth story of Jesus, it's not a one and done pattern for God. Now, the story of Jesus, yes, that is a one-time event. But the pattern that we see that takes place in this story, it is God's pattern. I don't want to say cookie cutter, but when you look at God's template, this is a template he uses over and over and over and over and over again. When I used to write songs, and we'd write some songs that were kind of a little bit different and intelligent music and different things there, but it was the 1-4-5 chord patterns, the pop rock that people kept asking for. Simple works. God understands the KISS rule. And we see his pattern over and over and over and over again. The pattern that you see, and the pattern I want you to be reminded of when you see a nativity scene. And you see God at work in all of that, in all these different parts that went into the birth story of Jesus, that this pattern happens over and over and over for every one of us sitting here. And not just one time, but multiple times over our lifetime, in our relationship with God. I think we look at the birth story of Jesus and we're just in awe. And when you really take it in, it is an amazing story. When you reflect on God's Son being brought to earth through a virgin, placed in a manger, the creator and king of all the universe, it's really an amazing story. Even before we get to the crucifixion and the empty grave, just the birth story alone is amazing in and of itself. But I think we need to recognize that this pattern we see, and it happens to us. Let's look at these parts that we've already mentioned. First of all, anytime God gives, it is out of grace. Anytime God gives, it is out of grace. Anytime I receive from God, it is because I have found favor. And that's not something that we earn. And we need to recognize that when we hear the birth story of Jesus, when we see nativity scenes this Christmas, to reflect on that and realize, you know what, it's not just Jesus. This is God's pattern, period. Anytime God gives, anytime I receive something, it is by God's grace. And we need to reflect on that. It's not because I've earned something. It's out of grace. It's because I'm full of grace. And that's not my grace that I'm full of. It's God's grace. And we can reflect on that. As I know, during this time of the year, there are things that we're thinking about and things that are going on and things that'll knock you off. But if you think about the gifts that God has given you, all of the things that he's done for you, and just to reflect on that, that helps to recenter. And all that is by his grace. We don't deserve that. We don't earn that. You can't do anything to get it. Anything that God gives is from grace. And when you receive from God, it's because you are highly favored. You are found to be full of grace. You have found favor with God. And God has chosen you. When he's chosen you, first of all, for all of us that have responded, we understand that God has chosen us to have a relationship with him. But even beyond that, God has chosen you for specific things. He has chosen you for a specific mission or the times when you found favor with God. And through his grace, he comes to you and invites you in to something really awesome that he's going to be doing. He says, hey, I would like for you to be a part of this amazing blessing that I'm going to bring. Just like Mary. Just like Joseph. And God follows that same pattern. Out of grace. We see in Mary and Joseph's lifestyles, we see them being obedient. We see them being faithful. And this will allow God's blessings to flow through us more readily. Without the obstacles, as long as we're faithful, as long as we're obedient. We're a better vessel. We're a better vehicle. We're a better conduit. This is, you know, for God's blessings to come through when we're faithful and obedient. So we can follow that. We can look at Mary and Joseph and see that part. Once again, going back to what I emphasized earlier. Yes, they were obedient. Yes, they were faithful. But it was God's grace that brought the gift. You're chosen because it's God's choice. You're chosen out of grace. Anytime God gives, it's out of grace. You guys share with me in an illustration. If you guys can all stand up. Everybody stand up. Okay, I want you to take both hands and put them on the lower part of your back there. Everybody got that? And then arch your back out. Okay, I want you to take one of your hands and put it on. Now I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, when are you due? When are you due?
Twins.
Twins. All right, you can have a seat. It runs in the family. When are you due? And let's write this down. What has God put in me? What has God put in me? Because you're going to remember that. And when we think about Mary and how God put something super special and amazing and such a great blessing for all of mankind, and he put that inside of Mary. That was by his grace that gift was given. And he put that inside of Mary. And as we reflect on that, as we see those nativity scenes, as we think about Mary, I want us to also think, what does he put inside of me? What has God given to me out of his grace? What has he put inside of me? And Mary, it was Jesus. It was very real, very tangible. But God puts things inside of each and every one of us, does he not? He puts passion. He puts gifts. He puts talents. He puts abilities. He puts ministry ideas and visions and dreams. As Peter is quoting Joel in the second chapter of Acts, he said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. So what dreams has God given you? What visions has God given you? What ministry idea has he put in your head? Has he put on your heart? What passion has God put in you? What makes your heart thump a little harder? What gets you excited? What do you focus in on? What gets you upset when it's not done quite right? That helps to point to your passion. What is it? What does he put inside of you? What are you do? What does he put inside of you? What kind of gift has he given to you? You know, as Christians, we're told that we are given gifts by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. Grace-given gifts, the translation of charismatic gifts. Charis means grace. Gifts of grace. We've been given supernatural gifts as Christians, as sons and daughters of God. What gift has he put inside of you? What talent, what ability has he given to you? And we're told in Scripture that we are knit together, as you guys experienced. Knit together in the womb. Not just Axel. Every one of us. Every person. God put them together in the womb. He made you. And he gave you gifts, and he gave you abilities, he gave you talents. After we accept Jesus and we receive the Holy Spirit, we have supernatural gifts, but you have natural gifts and talents that were given to you. I was a musician before I became a Christian. When I became a Christian, I moved from drums to guitar. No offense, Jim. It was an emotional transition for me. It's all right. What do you call a guy that hangs out with musicians? A drummer. Yeah. Tico Torres of Bon Jovi. Oh, he got the no. Oh, no, it wasn't Tico Torres. He was their drummer. I think it was Bon Jovi or Ricky Sambora. In an interview, they asked him, they said, what would you be if you weren't a musician? They said, a drummer. Okay, I'm done. I'm done, Jim. What gift, what talents? Because you've been given gifts. You've been given abilities and talents. They're just natural. You've had them for as long as you can remember. What has God put in you? Because even those gifts and talents while you were made in the womb, they're grace-given gifts. They're not supernatural like the gifts we get through the Holy Spirit. But you're still made by God. And those are gifts that were God-given gifts. Gifts that reflect his image. The image that you have been made in the likeness of. What has God put in you? When are you due? When are you due? What does he put in you? It's just like the baby Jesus that God put inside of Mary. God has put something in you and he has plans for that. Let's write that down. God has plans for what he put in me. It's not haphazard. You're a miracle. You're not a mistake. God made you and you were born with a purpose. He has plans for you. Not only your natural talents, but your supernatural talents. The Holy Spirit in you, leading you, directing you, giving you supernatural ideas and then supernatural gifts to make those ideas happen. Just like God putting Jesus inside of Mary, God has plans for what he has put inside of you. And his plans, just like Jesus, his plans are to bless others. Let's write that down. He plans to bless others through me. And when you think about the amazing blessing of Jesus this Christmas season, that God put Jesus inside of Mary, and then Jesus came to the world, and the amazing blessing that he has been, the same God, through the same grace, through the same Holy Spirit, has put inside of you what he has put inside of you. And be assured that blessing was meant to be given to others. He had plans to use what he put inside you to come out of you and to be used to bless others through you. That's amazing. It's not just Mary. This is a pattern. And you can see it. You can reflect on it in your own life and in past stories. You can reflect on it of other Christian brothers and sisters you've looked up to. You can reflect on it as you go up and you go through the Bible. And you can watch this pattern of God's. He gives out of grace. And the things that he gives, he has a plan for. When he puts something in someone, he has a plan for that. When he put things inside of Moses, he had a plan for that. In Abraham, he had a plan for that. In Joshua, he had a plan for that. In Peter, he had a plan for that. In Paul, he had a plan. In you, in every one of you, he put something inside you. And just like Jesus inside of Mary, God has a plan for that. And he has a plan to bless others through you because of that. And just like Mary saying, how will this happen? How can this be? I don't understand this physically. Well, it's not a physical answer. It's a supernatural answer. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary. The Holy Spirit made all this happen, made all this possible. And it's just the same with us. That same pattern with us. Let's write this down. My gift of grace is given through the Holy Spirit. The difference between a natural and a supernatural outcome is found in my obedience and attitude. Now, God's put that in you. He chose you out of grace, and he put that in you. And he has plans for what he put in you. He has a purpose for what he put in you. Just like Mary. Just like Joseph. The angel went to Joseph as well and said, hey, it's okay. This is planned. Take her as your wife. It's amazing. Let me share the plan with you. It's Jesus. And what does Joseph do? He was going to put her away quietly because he was a righteous man. He didn't want to make a big scene of it. And when you were engaged in their culture, it took a divorce to separate the couple. So he was going to put her away quietly so that it wouldn't disgrace her when he found out she was pregnant. And Gabriel comes to Joseph and says, hey, no, it's okay, it's okay. She's still on the good list. She's still on the nice list. Let me explain this to you. This is from God's Holy Spirit, and you are a blessed man. Take her to be your wife. And the son will be named Jesus. What does Joseph do? He's obedient. He's faithful. Mary, when she receives this news, and she says, how can this be? And it's explained to her, this is going to happen through the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to take care of all this. Mary says, let it be so. I'm your servant. So when God has, through his grace, put something inside of you, it's not supposed to stay there. Mary wasn't meant to stay pregnant for her whole life. When God puts something in you, it's meant to come out and it's meant to be a blessing. And it's meant to be a supernatural event in your life and in the lives of those that you touch with that blessing. You are called into that. You are invited into that, every one of us. None of us are exempt from that. None of us are pushed away from that because it doesn't happen through our merit. That's the beauty of it. No matter who you are, if you're simply obedient and faithful and you lay yourself down and say, you know, God, I'm yours, whatever you want to do with me, through me, in me, I'm yours. It's that attitude, it's that obedience that allows this to happen. And it makes a difference between a natural and a supernatural event in your life. Because Mary and Joseph, they could have gone different ways. They could have had a bad attitude about it. But they didn't. They were a great example for us through that. So what has God put inside you through his grace? What Holy Spirit idea has he put in your mind? What Holy Spirit passion has he laid on your heart? And what Holy Spirit gift has he given to you to make that happen? As I guarantee you, what God has put in you, he has plans for. Amen? And it's not just that he cuts you loose with it. Build an ark. Here are the plans. Here's the wood. Here's the pitch. Here's everything. You don't even have to collect the animals. I will bring them to you when the time comes. Pattern after pattern after pattern. Moses, I can't talk. I'm not good at public speaking. I can't do this. Burning bush. Moses, no shoes. You see the scene. He says, I'm going to put something in you, and it's not because of you, Moses. It's because of who I am. And it's through grace. And I give this to you. And I've included you in this amazing supernatural story that's going to happen. You're going to free the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And you're going to lead them to the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. But I can't speak. You don't get it. See, what God has put in you, he's given you abilities to achieve. Mary and Joseph. God gave to them an amazing gift out of grace. Planned for to be a blessing. And he made it happen through the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And that's his pattern. Are we going to be faithful? Are we going to be obedient when God gives gifts to us? Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for the birth of your son, Jesus. And the reflection that we have this morning of being able to look at this story and realize that this is not a one-time occurrence or pattern for you. Not just a one-time thing, but it is a pattern for you. It's how you operate. It's how you work. And it's so easy to see in our lives. So easy to connect with. Father, I pray that you would be with us, that you would help us to see these areas in our life that you've acted and you've blessed, and that every time we look at a nativity scene, every time we think about the birth story of Jesus and we sit back and think, wow, that's amazing. That we were reminded that you are still the same amazing God that gave Jesus to the world 2,000 years ago. And you still give gifts through grace, and you still have plans for your servants in whatever humble circumstance we find ourselves in. You still have plans for greatness. You still have plans for blessing. Help us to be attentive, aware. Help our eyes to be open today that we would see the gifts that you've given, both the natural gifts and the supernatural gifts. And you would help us to be good stewards of that. That we would follow in the shoes of Mary and Joseph and their willingness to take a crazy announcement and to follow and to be faithful and to be obedient. Help us, Father, so that we can accomplish the things that you have planned through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, oh man, oh man. Such a great... I was reading through this story and that kind of jumped out at me. And I was like, wow, that's something every one of us needs to be reminded of and to hear. And it's just such a special time of the year, period. And then to see this pattern and say, you know what? That is exactly how God works. And it's just right here laid out. Here's one of God's common templates. And then to identify that in our life. During this next song, I want us all to be just thinking about that, praying about that, asking God to open our eyes to that, to see to give him recognition, to give him praise for the things he has given you, for the things he has done through you. And then to offer yourself, to surrender, to say, you know what, I give you me, everything I am, everything I've got. And then to allow God to do great and mighty and amazing things through you, not because of your might, but because of his power. Amen. My goodness, I mean, 130, 140 some people. Imagine what God can do. God brought Jesus through Mary and Joseph as a helpmate, as we talked about marriage weeks ago. And look at what that did. Look at this room. Think about what amazing and mighty things can happen. Just imagine that if every one of us just lay it down and say, God, whatever you want, wherever you want me to go, and our eyes are open to see the amazing blessing that he's put in you. When are you due? When are you due to give birth to that blessing he's put in you? When is that due date? When do you get to see the amazing blessing of what he's put inside of you to bless others?